You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Well, hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Ellen O'Neill on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And yes, that must be confusing. Sita is out of town this week, and I am able to run the show this week with some great guests. And I'm very, very excited to be here with all of our friends. So let me give you a little insight about the show today. First of all, we're heard on 1510 WWBC, also on FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. You can go to the website, 1510 WWBC, and hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your listening devices. We also archive all the shows there, so you'll be able to hear all of the shows, download them from there under the archive, which is under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And then also on our website, sitamediainc.com, we share all of that, all of our information and our bios and pictures and copies of the show all on the website, as well as all of our social media as well. So a broad range of folks. Over the last few weeks, we've had over 16,000 downloads from the shows. So it's been a fantastic week, month, year of guests after 15 years. It's amazing. And today is no different. We've got a fantastic lineup today. And with me, because Sita is out of town, I needed a buddy. I needed my birthday buddy with me. Dr. Martha J. Watts is with us. You may remember her. She's been a longtime guest and good friend of the show, an English teacher, a teacher trainer, an educational consultant, author, and writer. And she's best known for her writing to respond process, if you remember that correctly, that she's taking worldwide. So Dr. Martha Watts, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Ellen, birthday buddy. Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here with you today, and I'm looking forward to whatever fun we're going to have.
Oh, we have a lot of, we always have a lot of fun.
It's and already started.
Of course, my sidekick, Allie Tambor, is here with me today.
It's just me.
Yep, and our resident friend that hangs out with us every week. And then, of course, Lily McDermott is also with us today. You may remember her radio show she's had before. Now she's in the classroom more. She is a certified life coach, a certified holistic cancer coach, and host of the classroom Let's Learn New Truths Together. Right? So thanks, Lily, for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me today.
This is going to be great.
So sweet. I love this place.
I really do.
It brings back some great memories.
It really does. It does. So, and on the phone with us today, we're going to have a phone guest. Dr. Shaila Patel is calling in. She may have remembered her. She wrote a book called U.S. Unhinged. She is a doctor. She's a psychiatrist and calling in, I believe, from Cape Canaveral, correct, Dr. Patel?
Yes, I am.
Awesome.
Yes, thank you for inviting me on the show, Ellen.
Well, it's so exciting to have you because I remember our last conversation that we had. And, of course, all the ladies here are excited to hear about you and the book and all of the great things that you're doing. So without further ado, introducing you, of course, without, you do your bio best than anyone. tell our guests and our listeners a little bit about yourself and about U.S. Unhinged. Just a quick little bio.
Okay. I was born to an Indian family in Kenya, Africa. And I grew up in Africa till I was 16 years old. And then I went to England because when I was born, Kenya was a British colony, so I was a British citizen. And so I was able to go to the universities in England, and I went to St. Andrews and did my medical training. I did my clinical rotations in Manchester. And then my parents had already immigrated to India, to America about halfway through my medical school year. And so they've been in this country for about 50 years. And since they were here, I and my husband, who was also a physician, we both came over and did our residencies. And I was a practicing psychiatrist for about 25 years. And then I decided to hang up my shingle. I worked mainly with children and women, and a lot of men also preferred a female psychiatrist. I was the only female psychiatrist in the area for about 15 years, so it was very, very busy, as you can imagine, and the only child psychiatrist in the area for almost the same time. And then the pandemic hit. I wasn't able to travel, which is my passion, and so I decided to write books. And the first book I wrote was called U.S. Unhinged, but it was so big, so I had to divide it up into two parts, which is Us Unhinged, mainly dealing with relationships, hope for women. It started off because of the Me Too movement, but I didn't want everybody jumping on the bandwagon saying Me Too. It was from the male and the female perspective. And then the other book was all about the social issues going on in America. And that one is The U.S. Unhinged. And then my third book came out because I was just horrified with the events of January 6th, and that's called U.S. Fractured.
Wow. So three books in total then, or two books?
That's right.
Three books in total. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And how... because I had read U.S. Unhinged. I read the first book, and that was after the first Trump administration, right? We had already gone into the... But you did you write the book in when we were in the Biden administration?
It was written in 2018, so it was right. Starting to be in the Biden administration. And then, like I said, by the time I wrote The U.S. Fractured, we had already evidenced the Trump administration, the first one, and then it was just before he was sworn in for the second term.
Right. So what, you know, from a perspective of how things have changed, and I know the ladies have other questions as well, but as a perspective of how things have changed over the few years, from a psychiatrist's point of view, what have you seen the differences in people as a result of the political change?
It has really been horrifying, to tell you the truth. I came to this country 40 years ago, and as an immigrant, I never felt like people looked at me because of my race or my color or my gender. Everybody was very respectful. I had a great community, a great set of patients. Everybody showed a lot of respect, mutual respect. And sad, and you know, the problems that I used to deal with kids was mostly, you know, substance abuse or acting out or attention deficit disorder, or the younger ones had bedwetting or nightmares, school problems, dealing with teachers, social workers, you know, abuse cases, stuff like that. Since then, with all the ramifications of all the political divides and the anger and frustration, I always say that the country, if it's only got two parties, the Republicans and the Democrats, it's like two parents. And if the two parents are fighting all the time, then the children are all going to be very unhappy. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we have seen, not only during the pandemic when divisions and anger got to be really paramount. And then we had so many issues with loneliness and isolation and anger. And the political divide has only made that 10 times worse. And now we have almost one in five adults and one in six children talking about having some kind of mental health issues, whether it be depression, anxiety, uptick in substance abuse, loneliness. There were almost 50,000 suicides in 2022. I mean, horrendous changes have happened. And now, just like when people can't talk to each other, can't listen to each other, there is no respect for each other, there's no listening to each other. You can just imagine it's not only friends falling apart, but there's so many families that are breaking up and can't decide how they're going to sit together at the same table during Thanksgiving, Christmas, other celebrations, when they have such opposing political views, which to me is so much intolerance has been inbred. And I never expected to see this in the American society. The other thing that has really floored me is that I come from not only my cultural background of the women always being treated as second-class citizens. Then I grew up in Kenya, where the women there were really treated worse than second-class citizens. And then I come to this country and enjoyed the freedoms that women have and all the things that they could do and the advances they had made. And then now to see that, you know, women have to actually go out and protest saying it is their body and they should be able to do what they can with their body. I mean, come on, you know, they were talking about, having restrictions on contraceptives, that the women should stay at home. Here's the vice president talking about, you know, women should not be working. They should be at home having babies. What are they trying to do to the women? I mean, that's so much of what I wrote in my first book, right, was about the yin and the yang, the historical perspective of what women have had to go through to get to this place. And when I first came to this country, it was so freeing and so liberating to see that women and men were treated equally. I was treated as an equal, being a physician. And in the community that I was, even though it was in South Georgia, people were still very respectful to women. And now it seems like we're just going backwards. And I am heartbroken to see the direction that this country has taken.
And it's such a challenge, too, because I see, too, with AI and some of these other things, even the news that you think that you're getting news, it's like they're recharging it with more things that possibly are, you know, could be or not be true, right? So you just add all of that extra, you know, I almost call it news infidelity. That's what I call AI at this point right now, because
that's a good way to put it.
It is.
Because you're exactly right. You know, I think that social media and the news media, they sensationalize to draw the audience in. And so what they do is they put on the worst news. They never fact check. Basically, they put out, you know, who puts out the news the fastest?
Right, exactly.
And so how are we going to get our audience hooked in as soon as possible? And then when they have to make corrections, it's always in tiny writing, or there might be a subline somewhere to correct whatever information they may have put out falsely. You're right that with the AI, it's even more scary. You know, I always say I am almost approaching 70 years old, and I feel like I have led a very good life till now. And I worry about the future generations. Not only are they having issues with not being able to afford, you know, housing, to be independent, we are also having issues where a lot of that generation is not getting married. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not having sex. They are more into either streaming shows or focusing on how to becoming more financially stable so they can even take care of themselves, or they're living in with their parents where there is not much chance to date and have any kind of privacy. So, you know, the things have catapulted so much. It's not only just the financial, the economic, but the emotional toll that the American people have to deal with at this stage in life. And I don't want to feel hopeless and helpless, because I really feel that it is the people themselves that are going to be, you know, when people get tired enough of being tired, that's when the change is going to come.
Exactly.
And
right.
I really
it's that big emotion that's going to take action. Yep.
Yes.
So for those listeners who are just tuning in, we are speaking with Dr. Shyla Patel. She's a psychiatrist here in Florida. She's calling in from Cape Canaveral, Florida. Of course, we have our great ladies here with me in the studio, and Dr. Martha Watts has a question for you. It's wants to introduce herself as well.
Yes, Dr. Patel. Yes, good afternoon. This is Dr. Martha Joseph. I wanted to ask, I heard you talk about the regression that's going on, and I quite agree. Do you see any impact on your patients, whether it's children, the men, or the women? What impact of that regression? I know it's very recent, but the idea that women that women can't have, they can have control over their bodies anymore. They can't decide what they can do as far as contraception, all of those things. Do you see any impact that probably we should be concerned about?
Well, obviously, you know, the emotional toll that is taking on the women is paramount, because women have fought so hard to have these freedoms, to be able to make these choices, to become more independent. And, you know, the sad part is that there are more girls graduating from college. That's the other thing that people want us to focus in, is how the men are being left behind. Well, you know, the men have enjoyed being a patriarchal society. Yeah. They have enjoyed being the roosters in the kingdom. Well, and now that they're having to step back a little bit, because the girls are getting, you know, more college educated, they're getting more athletic, they're getting more in things. Mm-hmm. And it's sadly, you know, when they're starting to get trodden on again, it almost feels like a backward regression in a really in a community that should be experiencing so much more inclusiveness and freedom rather than going backwards.
Good. I have a follow-up question to that. From a psychiatric perspective, what could you tell us as families? I agree with those communication issues in families right now. I do have family members where when I go over, I make sure that I never speak politics, because I know that our political persuasions are so different. And that was never an issue. I've always had family members with different political persuasions, but we were able to speak and not get offended. But now it's like, if you happen to just talk, people's emotions are high. And so as families, you walk around and you feel like you're almost on eggshells. From a psychiatric perspective, what can you tell us? How can you help us figure out how to sort those things in our families?
It is surprising how often I get asked that question: is what do we do at the dinner table? And my
make sure the mashed potatoes don't have a throwing spoon in them.
Right.
Exactly. One, put the knives away.
That's right. Then,
but food fights can be fun.
One of the things that really has to happen is that we have to be first good listeners, because, you know, majority of the people just get so defensive when we hear an opposing opinion. So one of the things is there should be, everybody has 5 minutes maybe, and make a condition right at the beginning that when somebody's speaking, you know, don't interrupt, don't get defensive, listen with open ears. And that goes for myself too, because not everything everybody does is wrong. Not everything somebody does is right. So there has to be some compromise. So one, you start by listening. Secondly, you have to be armed with the facts, because if you are just spouting off again, we've talked about social media, we've talked about the news outlets, we don't know what's right or wrong. So when before you give your opinion, make sure that you're armed with the facts and you are able to quote, saying, hey, I have looked at this from two or three different sources, and what you're saying is kind of inaccurate. More than attacking the person, saying, you know, they're ignorant and they don't know what they're talking about, I think just saying, okay, you know, I value your opinion, but from everything I have read, this is how I am looking at this particular issue. Would you be willing to look at these sources? Because one of the things that if you're just listening to Fox News all the time, even Fox News has admitted that it's not a news channel, it's an entertainment channel, and they never check their facts. their lawyers have also said they cannot be sued for putting out false news because it's not a news outlet. It is just there for entertainment. And they're only there to pacify their audience into what they're listening to. So my whole thing is make sure that you actually go to two or three different sources and get the accurate information. And then, like I said, when you're willing to listen, hopefully they will not get as defensive because you have heard their perspective.
Right.
They need to give you the same respect as to, and if they're not willing to do that, then you definitely have to move on because I understand that people's frustration tolerance and their really lack of respect for each other is so sad right now. Mm-hmm. And that is why people are not able to communicate. It's like, you know, when you have a fight in the home, you try and count to 10 and you calm down. But in these situations, you're not living with these people. You're only having them getting together for a dinner or something. And they're going to go to their home and you're going to go to your home. And if they're not willing to show you the respect to listen to you after you've listened to them, then, you know, sometimes it's a lost cause.
My technique has always been go in curiosity and not in judgment. And so when I don't agree with someone, especially when I don't agree with someone, I ask a lot of questions and I just say, why do you feel that way? Or what's making you so emotionally charged about that? Or whatever happens to be. And I just keep asking the why questions because they're typically just like even with the people that are in this room, we all come from different backgrounds. We all have different perspectives. You know, I'm not affected. I don't have children, so I'm not affected by the reproduction piece as much as everyone else is, right? I don't have grandchildren, you know, so my perspective is always going to be different and probably less emotionally charged because I'm not affected that way. And there are other things that are political right now that people are really charged about that, once again, don't affect me necessarily personally. But I also respect the fact that it does affect someone else personally.
Definitely.
And I always want to ask those questions. So that's always been I hope that, you know, our listeners can derive some of these techniques out of this conversation.
I want to say thank you so much for that response because right now I'm an instructor at one of the universities here and I'm teaching rhetoric right now. And one student came to me with the idea that they wanted to talk about the use of DEI to hire people. And then I said to him, okay, remember, we are rhetoric. We want to make sure that we have the facts to back it up. Make sure that you're going to get peer-reviewed articles, people who have written on the topic, and you have the facts or whatever you're saying. And make sure, and it's okay, I'm ready to listen. I want to hear. You know, I mean, of course, I am one of them here, and I just want people to know that I did go to school and I did study and I did not have to have any kind of tokens to get any job that I have.
I had to work hard
for it. But at the same time, I wanted him to understand that it's okay. It's okay to talk about it, but I wanted to make sure that you're very well informed, you're getting the right, get the information that's peer-reviewed. And the next day or later, he said, I think I'm going to change my topic. I'm like, why? I wanted to hear what you found out. And he's like, well, I didn't find enough resources to talk about it. But I want students to know that it's okay to talk about anything you want to speak about. But I want you to do exactly what Dr. Patel just said. Make sure that you've gotten the facts. You've gotten the reviewed one. Not peer-reviewed. Not the ones that just you saw on an entertainment channel or on an X Factor or on something of that nature.
Right. And a lot of us as adults, we really don't know what these young adults have gone through with this pandemic. Mm-hmm. And not being able to go to prom and their entire high school life not being
normal.
The same, normal, what we would have considered normal, right? So a lot of the emotional charges that I hear from young people and the changes in young people and the respect and the way that people talk to each other, I find is a direct result of that, I don't realize what that felt like going through that high school. But I, again, ask those questions. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Patel, do you have anything to add about that? About just, you know, not only do we have this political arena, right? That's a big change. But now we have this whole group of adults that have gone through an unprecedented event that shut the, you know, now we've had to shut government down again, but nonetheless, we shut everything down for basically for 3 years. And that changed families as well.
You know, I'm really glad you mentioned about the children, because that, having been a child psychiatrist, that has really concerned me, that the adults are so angry, and the adults are the ones that are spouting off just whatever they watch, or it doesn't matter whether it's the Democrats or Republicans, you know, putting out stuff on the social media. And one of the things about social media is they talk about how much detriment it has been to the kids and their education. Well, if the parents don't put down their social media, and they don't stop streaming, and they don't stop just
name calling
on these external things, then the kids are going to learn by watching, not by what you tell them. You can't tell a kid to put their phone down when you're on your phone 24/7 as well. So, you know, it's not surprising that there's so much anger and depression and anxiety. And we are not, that was one of the things that I really focused in on my books, is the child development and how to raise confident children. And everything that I'm seeing out in the community right now, you know, I talk a lot about parenting. I talk about the snowplow parents, the helicopter parents, the ones that are just mollycoddling the kids all the time. You know, you have all the Mothers for Liberty, you know, but they're all against you know, the established schools. Yeah, everything in the past was not all bad. We were all raised that way, and we are not bad people. I think our generation has amazingly done well. And when they're trying to say that everything that was in the past is wrong right now, you know, it gives me pause that whatever's happening to your kids is not right. So do you not think you need to look back and see how you were raised and how your grandparents raised you and what were the important family values? One of the things that I ended my U.S. Fractured book on was, what are the basic American values? American people, I think, in their heart are good people. When there's a disaster in the community, they don't stop to look at what color you are, or whether you're black or white, or female or a male. You know, they're going to go out there and help. Everybody helps each other. So let's not wait for total disasters and a really uprising. You know, we need to squash this now and learn to appreciate each other and the contributions everybody has made in this country. And sadly, the way they're treating immigrants, you know, I call myself an immigrant, even though I've been here almost 50 years. And the amount of, 40% of doctors are Indians. And if they're going to talk bad about the brown-skinned people, are they going to talk bad about, because every single person I know probably has an Indian doctor. And that's only one example. You know, what about all of our yard people, of people who do, you know, roof construction, road construction? If they just haul them all away and send them out, who's going to be? I mean, you see a demise of a wonderful country, and that's what's scary, not only for us, but for the future generations as well.
Well, and I think without having to read the other two books, I think that from the first book, I really felt the message that you wanted to get to the readers about, you know, this is our society, this is what we're yes. handed, but how to be healthy, mentally healthy, spiritually healthy in the whole process of what this is. And I think you've given some great insight as to how to do that. And I would encourage all of our listeners to go out and purchase the book. Where would they, Dr. Patel, where would they be able to get your book? Books, I should say.
My website, which is really easy, www.drsheilapatel.com. But they're all available on Amazon. If you just put down books by Dr. Sheila Patel, MD, on the Amazon, they're on Instagram, they're on
Social medias.
Yeah. And they can read extracts from them. The Book Locker is the publisher, and I even have chapters in there if people want to read some free chapters before they buy the book. So, you know, Amazon
It's a fantastic opportunity for families to get some more skills, some more communication skills,
right,
where they maybe didn't need them before. Now we need them now. New century, new problems, new challenges. We need new tools. And I think that you've done that in these three books of really presenting not necessarily one side or the other, because it was a very, you know, middle of the road. It was just the simple fact, right, that we just don't communicate. It had nothing to do with Republicans or Democrats or, you know, the situation that we're here in the United States, and certainly we can all see the division and the challenges that we face every day with getting along with one another. So thank you, Dr. Sheila Patel, right here in Cape Canaveral, for your insight and for calling in today and being a part of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We are going to take a quick minute and listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back after these messages with Lily McDermott.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to 1510WWBC.com and Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. This is Ellen O'Neill, Sita's co-host. Sita is away today. And with me in the studio, I was lucky to get my birthday twin, Dr. Martha J. Joseph, right? We're just leaving it at Martha Joseph these days. Okay, good. Still my birthday twin, nonetheless. And my sidekick, Allie.
Yo.
Besties. Each and every week here on Mondays, it's like kitchen table topics. We get a chance to speak to some fantastic folks. Our first segment was no different. Dr. Sheila Patel, She has a fantastic books out. We've promoted all of those. And our second segment, we get the esteemed pleasure of being in the company of Lillian McDermott. Lily McDermott has been a great friend of the show. Actually has been was a great mentor to me and Sita when we started Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And I'm so happy to have you back.
And it's such a pleasure to be here.
Hear about all the great adventures you're doing now. So we talked about with Dr. Shyla Patel about her books, but it was really about the healthy mind and the healthy about things. So tell us a little bit about you and how you started with your latest adventures.
Oh, my latest adventures. Well, so we're going to skip 14 years, which is great. This is great
skip over the technology part. Like when you left the technology jobs and went to all of this good stuff.
I remember interviewing somebody that I was asking them to tell me a little bit about their life and, you know, how we have like breaks during. And by the time 15 minutes had gone by, we were still in Vietnam.
Right. Oh, geez.
We need to hurry up. Okay. So as you know, my life has been a beautiful fluke. And I remember thinking that way. And I believe thoughts really can hold us back. And I remember saying to this man who was on my show, and I said, you know, I just feel like a fluke. Like everything that has happened in my life has just fallen my way. And he stopped and he said, fluke. What a magical word.
Interesting.
We can change everything, right, mm-hmm. with perspective. And I remember the way the radio started in my life was because someone had really tried to cause harm. And as we know in scripture, it says what you intended for harm, God intends for good. And so the same thing has happened in my life. Anytime someone has had to harm me or someone has harmed me, something wonderful has come from it. And the radio show came from that. I was hired by this wonderful company that offered me so much money and, you know, and was hired by a lot. I used to work with lawyers and personal injury. And doctors as well, because I worked in an imaging center. And I remember they scooping me away from that world and offering me so much money. But on my contract, I saw that on the 89th day, they could let me go without any cause. I questioned my intuition. And I asked them about that. And they said, well, have you ever been dismissed from any job? And I'm like, never. And he goes, nah, don't worry about it. And I was so seduced by the money, I signed the agreement. On the 89th day, they let me go. Mm. But here's the good news. And I think that I want to encourage everybody, as we heard how the world can be negative right now, I want to encourage everybody to look at everything that happens to us as a gift. Mm-hmm. And we look at it as a gift, then we see something different and new that we didn't see before. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And I've quoted that on my show so many times.
And my favorite one is what you focus on grows.
That's it.
So you can find all the negativity you
want,
and that will blow
up. So this is the positive 26 minutes of the show. So anyway, because of the work I was doing, I was exposed to doctors and lawyers that I would have never worked with in the past. And I remember sending out my first text to the number one neurosurgeon in the state of Florida. And I said, it was such a great pleasure to work with you. I'm no longer working with this company. And they said, he was a neurosurgeon about to go into surgery when he calls me up and says, Lily, I don't care what you do, but I want you to start your own marketing company and I will be your first client. And I went, whoa, okay, so let me send it to a next person. Next person said they had four.
I understand the fluke word now.
Yes.
I understand it a little more. It is a magical word.
Well, anyway, so then I reached out to another doctor who had four clinics, and he said, I don't care what you do, you need to start your own marketing company. So by the end of the day, my husband, who is my left hand, he does things that I don't know how to do. He helped me with starting my company, and Lillian M. McDermott & Associates started. Well, from there, I started a campaign for my doctors, and someone said, you need to go on the radio. And John Harper interviewed me for 30 minutes. That was back in 2000. I started my business in 2010, 2011. I walked into WMEL, and John Harper interviewed me for 30 minutes, and After we were done, he came in, poked his head in the room that you interview people in, and he said, "Wow, how long have you been doing radio?" And I went, worked up my watch, 30 minutes, that's it. And the rest is history. That's been 14 and a half years. And God sat me down to learn from such great, incredible people, you know, that I just feel so blessed. And what somebody did to cause me harm, they wanted all my list. Because when you're a marketer, your gold, your currency are the people you know. Mm-hmm. And they took all of that. Mm-hmm. They took all of that. But that's okay. And by the way, they said when they told me about it, and by the way, you have a non-compete for 2 years. You cannot do this with anybody else.
Oh, boy.
So, created myself anew. And I think that if anybody is listening today feeling discouraged, hopeless, or feeling that nobody understands them, I really do want to encourage you to step back and see that what has been causing you harm, God intends for good. And, you know, God works things out for the good of all who love.
He does. Yeah.
And
he
so
does.
I believe that I am a part of that. Mm-hmm. And so are you. Yeah. So all equal, yes. All equal.
And the last time you were on the show, we talked a lot about the health journey piece of your life, right?
Yes.
So
I used to make fun of people like me. I used to make fun of people like me. How could that be?
But from a toxic standpoint, you know, we look at the environment, we look at all of, you know, even the, you know, the conversation we had with Dr. Patel about, you know, people's relationships and so forth. We have so much toxicity in the world right now.
Yeah.
So from a health perspective, you have always been that person that has always been a way, call it the fluke, call it the magic word, the fluke,
such a
but able to
word.
Repel all of that toxic and always come up with some solutions to those.
Well, if you
things.
Look at my brand, it's the I am the solution. So this has been my latest when I do summits and when I do workshops, when I do just about anything. I want people to understand that I am, that capital I, that capital A, capital M, that I am that is in me can do all things. Mm-hmm. All things. That means that if I think I can't do something, God knows how to do it. So if I tap into that I am, I can do anything that I really want to do. And I feel bad for people that use that as I can't do anything. I'm not enough. And from this journey of someone trying to cause harm, which wasn't the first time that had happened, by the way. It's happened many times since then. But you know what? I know the truth that whatever happens to me will be blessed abundantly by my Creator. Whether you call your Creator God or Allah or, you know, whatever it is that you want to, I don't mind it when people call me by the wrong name, you know, or the name that is my birth name or my nickname or whatever. Just call on me and I'll be there.
There you go. That was your radio show, if you remember correctly.
When you need a friend.com. There we go.
That was awesome. So what about that? So from a mindset standpoint, certainly all of the things that you just said about, and I remember I did a training class for quite a few years, and I'm probably doing something that I shouldn't, but fish philosophy was what it was. And it was this group of guys that created this fish store out in Seattle. But they had a concept of the folks that were going to work there. And they said that they had to do four things. They had to play, like make every day like a playground, right? No matter what you're doing, have fun doing
it.
Choose your attitude was another one. Like everybody could be grumpy. Everybody could say, or you wake up in the morning and I didn't sleep so good. But you could still choose your attitude, right?
Yeah.
So from a, and the other one was be present. Like always make sure that you're present in the moment. There was a few other ones that were part of it. But I always think about that from a mindset of a healthy mindset, right? Mm-hmm. But spiritual mindset is always what you've connected to as well. And I hear that even in the dialogue that we're having now of your spirituality and how much that is plays a part in it. How much do you think, for our listener's standpoint, you know, if people are struggling right now, what are some of the resources that people can tap into to rid that toxicity in their mind and in their spiritual journey?
Well, you get what you focus on. And that was a really hard thing for me to understand, the brain. there's some truths about the brain that most people don't understand. And I cover that whenever I do coaching. That's the first thing I do after I do the intake with a person that's sick with cancer. I want people to understand that our mind is so powerful. It's our command center in our body. And if you think of your cells as little different universes and your brain as the command center, the president, you know, of the world, of the universe, whatever I think, I bring into existence. So if I'm looking at the world through a negative lens of everything's going to go wrong, it will. Because the brain doesn't know fact versus fiction.
That's right.
It just knows. Can I get an amen, sister? Yeah.
Martha's going to jump in here just any second here.
I want to hear what she has to say.
It's true.
But, you know, it doesn't know fact versus fiction. It just focuses on what it knows and what it sees. Yeah. And so if I want to be healthy, I can't be focusing on not being sick. Because the word that registers is be sick. It's be sick. And so if I want to focus on, you know, thriving, I need to focus on the now.
Being well.
And also being well in the now, because my brain doesn't know between the difference between past or future. It doesn't know the difference between the two. It assumes it's happening now. Your brain doesn't understand, you know, like I said, do versus don't, past versus fiction. It doesn't understand who it's angry with. It assumes it's you.
Amen.
So it is so important that as we look into our like we're going into the holidays right now, and that we need to understand that whatever we hold, and it's so biblical, it's so scriptural too, that what we hold bound on earth will be bound in heaven, right? So we need to start learning how to strip these things away from our life, such as we need to forgive. We need to understand that forgiveness, the brain doesn't look at that you're needing to forgive somebody else. It's looking at it needs to forgive yourself. Will act. It's so important that what you look at, what you hear, what you speak, be giving God the glory.
How challenging is it? Now, Martha, you work primarily with children, young adults, right? College, up to probably college age, probably more so than anyone, right? So how do you change or help someone facilitate a new, you know, because it's really not about change. It's about facilitating a new mindset in young adults.
You really have to help them understand what you want. Let's first find out what do you want.
What do you want?
And let's focus on what you want.
I have an exercise for that, by the way.
You want, it's good to know what you don't want, but that's not the focus.
Yes.
So I know I don't want to be sick, but I'm not focusing on being sick. I want to be well. That's what I want. Yes. So what we want to teach them is, okay, you know what you don't want, but that's not the focus. Our focus is on what we want. And you are right down my alley. I used to suffer from migraine. This is my 18th year of being free from
migraine.
Good
for you.
And it had to do, it was just the mindset.
But people don't understand that. They think it's all in your head.
The brain does not know.
Literally.
Listen, the brain does not understand exactly what she said. And how did I find out? I used to get migraine if I got upset. So if you upsetted me, I was upset. But I was looking at the movie Losing Isaiah. And it was a movie with Halle Berry and a white and a child. And I sobbed so hard.
Yeah.
And I had the nastiest migraine the next day. And I realized, but wait, I got upset, but it wasn't because Ellen made me upset. But my brain does not understand the difference.
Correct.
It just treated all upset as I had to go through the same process.
And then if you think about that over and over and over again, then if you ruminate on wanting to change the story, because you really don't know what your brain is reacting to, then that's when depression kicks in.
That's right.
And when you're focusing on the future that you have no control over other than being who you are and what you can do, then that's when anxiety
comes. And that's where journaling came in. I started writing down what made me upset. What happened before I got a migraine? What happened 2 days before? What happened 24 hours before? 48 hours before. And so that's how I knew what was going on. I realized my brain is just, it just doesn't know the difference. So I started changing what I watched. I started changing what I read. I started changing all of those things. So I started looking at happy movies. No more movies to make me cry. The Young and the Restless. I would do that. And if my favorite couple got cheated on, I got a migraine. So guess what? I put an X on
you. You have a very powerful brain. And so, that is, and how beautiful that you're so powerful, your brain is so powerful, you didn't allow your limitations, your limiting beliefs to say, oh, it's my DNA. Yep. Oh, it's my mother that had the migraine or my sister who had the migraine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people look, you have to look beyond what you see and what you know, because we live in a world of what we don't know, we don't know. Yes. And how do you know you don't know it unless you start looking at it, right?
Well, and that's sort of my point, because young adults, I think you have, you sort of still have that opportunity of changing mindset a little bit. Mm-hmm. But adults, one of the things I learned about adult learning principles is that we come with a lot of baggage.
Yes, we do.
Right? So when you're processing, or even as a coach, as a life coach, and the things that you're doing, processing that change as an adult, because you have so many things, you know, so much baggage, right? Yeah. You've got your parents' baggage. Yes. You've got all these things. I listen to people now that are in their 40s and 50s and still talking about their parents. Mm-hmm. And I get it. If you're talking about it from a memory type of thing, but not, don't say, oh, my mom did that to me. Like at 50, like you got to get past it.
That's what it was.
Right. So, so what are some of the techniques that you use, Lily, in your coaching and in your coaching business? With adults that are having challenges with changes.
I just had, I'm so glad that you're having this conversation right now, because I just realized I'm doing a webinar on December 2nd.
Excellent.
Okay.
We'll and make sure we share all that with your...
Yes, and it's called Rewriting the Story. Whenever you tell the story of how somebody did you wrong, and I will give you an example. Because I believe in four truths when it comes to taking ownership. One is, how did I create it? Second one is, what are the gifts and lessons? Third one, and these questions are at whenyouneedafriend.com under 100% responsibility. So the third one is, now that I know how I created it and the blessings, the gifts and the blessings from it, what am I going to do different? And then the fourth is, now that I know all these things, how am I going to use it to pay it forward? Mm-hmm. See? So it all comes full circle.
And one of the challenges adults have is with accountability.
Accountability.
So moving through that process is so important.
Some people can't get past the first process, the first question, which is, how did you create it? And I remember I was doing a webinar. It's just like I'm going to about to do on December 2nd, which is a Tuesday, I believe.
Correct me.
So I said, somebody had written down, well, how did I create being molested as a child? And I said, you see, when you answer that, it cannot be about fault, shame, blame, or duty. It has to be about fact. I was born into the family. There's no wrong or right. It's what happened. You were born into the family. So that's question number one. So number two, the question number two is, what are the gifts and lessons? And some people may not be able to look at the gifts and lessons, but this woman, I asked her, I went through this process with, what are the gifts and lessons? And her gift was, she knew what it looked like to be a pedophile. She knew, understood it. And what's going to be different? And she, the gift and lesson was that her kids had never been molested. Because of it, her kids had never been molested. And then the third question, what's going to be different? She's used this to help other parents understand what molestation looks like. And then the fourth question is, how are you going to pay it forward, right? So at that moment, she understood that all these years where she hated the person who molested her, I said, but isn't it beautiful that your children were never molested? If you had a choice between you being molested or your child being molested, who would you choose? And she said, 30 years of counseling has not done this much work for me until this moment. I can now say I am grateful for what happened. And that's very difficult. That takes, you know, maturity. It takes letting go of the outcome and what we believe in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it has to do with forgiveness, because remember, the body doesn't know who it's angry with. It assumes it's you. So a lot of the women and men who have gone through sexual abuse or anything to that effect, that they don't even know it, but they're self-imploding.
Yes.
So if we rewrite the story, like, isn't it great that your children didn't have to be molested? Mm-hmm. Now, how much power does that have over I was molested and I'm freaking out over my children and I'm giving...
And technically those children were born into the same family.
Exactly.
So you are protecting them.
You are a generational pattern shifter. And when we decide to take back our health and take back our power, it's amazing when you change the way you look at things, the things Trust you look me. At change. And the first time I ever heard that quote was Wayne Dyer. And Wayne Dyer said, I don't remember who said it, but when I wrote for Florida Today, which was part of my journey as writing for Florida Today, I remember I had to, if I'm going to quote that, I want to find out who did Wayne Dyer hear it from. And it was Max Planck. It was from a long time ago. Max Planck, of all people, is still affecting my life. Because we could be, I could be looking at a 6 and you could be looking at a 9. And we have the complete opposite, but we all can find out what we have in common. Which is one of the things when I was listening to your first caller, Dr. Patel, which I think that she speaks in the middle, you know, that, you know, everybody yeah. should get along. That was one of the first things that I wrote down. I really want to talk about what we have in common. Mm-hmm. Because you and I could talk about what we don't have in common. Maybe you're a Democrat, I'm a Republican, maybe you're a Christian, maybe I'm not a Christian, and maybe somebody else is, whatever. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. We love. We can love. We can start from just love. And I know God is love. So, you know, it's like I remember interviewing an atheist, and we were trying to figure out what we had in common. And I finally, because love is very important to them, and I'm like, yeah, we found something in common. We both share love.
Right.
And she said, during the break, she said, but your love is different than my love. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, come on, stop splitting hairs. But, you know, finding out what we have in common and rewrite the story. And I'm going to do a webinar on December 2nd, which is a Tuesday from 6 to 9. It's online. And we are going to learn how to rewrite the story and focus on what we want. And I want to, normally it's $150, but I will discount it for $99. For anybody who would like to do it, go to whenyouneedafriend.com or text me at 407-373-5959 or go to my website. All my information is there.
And a fantastic website, by the way. And I will make sure that we share all that info. But I do have one other question. You just had a summit. I want to spend a couple of minutes on the summit.
Yes.
And we only have a couple of minutes.
Yes.
It was a fantastic
weekend. It was amazing. It was called I Am the Solution Natural Health Summit for Cancer and Autoimmune Disease. And my husband, every time I come up with a title, is like, your titles are so long. Okay, well, they have to be. I want people to remember the I Am the Solution is always a given, but cancer and autoimmune disease. We had such great news for people there. We have been told a lot of lies. And I think it's time for us to rewrite the story, take our health back. We had, you know, vendors and speakers that are just giving people some great tools to take their health back and not fall into the white coat trance, which is what I call it. No offense to doctors out there, where you hear and obey. There's always another side.
There's always a symptom that you didn't tell someone or something that was relevant that you completely forgot about.
Look at migraines. Migraines, stop looking at the television.
Exactly. Like, stop looking wonderful. At the television.
Instead of taking all this medication, mm-hmm. you can take a pill, you can take responsibility. Mm-hmm. I'm not against
Good
the
life.
Pill.
Good life.
I am for doing everything we possibly can to live the life we want.
And one of my, from a health and wellness standpoint, you know, as Jack Canfield and everyone else has been quoted, my quote is from Lily McDermott, which was eat more things from plants instead of made in plants. So I think that was like the words of wisdom. I don't know, maybe even 10 years ago, I think it was. And that always
thank you,
stuck
Ellen.
With
You're
me.
So
yes.
Sweet.
So,
thank you so
you know,
much.
Stick to the outsides of the, see all this stuff, all this great information you learn on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and you get it year after year. So it's awesome. Dr. Shyla Patel was a fantastic
Absolutely.
First guest. Thank you so much for calling in. If you can hear me for my voice, Lily McDermott, always a pleasure to have you
always
here. And I will make sure that we share all of this information on our website and so forth. Dr. Martha, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with me, my birthday twin. And of course, Allie, thanks for being with me every single week. We are here each and every week, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on 1510 WWBC and shared on 3 FM stations. Please tune in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends for fantastic community radio. We'll see you next week.